Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ask me, ask Eliza anything. It's time to ask me all your questions. Leave them in the Instagram comment section. Leave them on your Twitter or leave them on your Facebook. We'll see them, we'll read them, then we'll give you answers. You know it, I've got it. I've got the answer, You ask me.
Should we start the podcast like already laughing? Like we were already having an inside joke. You guys, Emily said the funniest thing that won't be funny now that I say it. Because radios, you know, radios, they're always just like, welcome back. And then what?
The only thing worse than that is when they're like talking for a little bit. They're like, oh, we're recording? Whoa, I can't believe. Oh, this is part of the podcast?
Well, sometimes I think it's the mark of a good host to be like, and we're recording now versus like, oh, we've been live. All that racist shit you said, it's on here.
You say like, okay, I'm hitting record now.
Or the worst is when like, I think I'm being recorded. So I'm like giving all this energy and they're like, all right. So in like, how's your day? And are you on tour? And they're like, all right, we're going to start recording. You're like, why was I talking to you?
Yeah. What are we doing?
Unprofessionalism is rampant.
I'm constantly just secretly recording you.
Oh, God. I asked you to sign an NDA and you wouldn't.
That's true. It was not good terms.
Creeptown, USA. They were good terms. You're just being very litigious about it. I just want to make sure you're, I mean, I'll just.
At this point, what can I share?
So much. Yeah, you made a mistake. And Emily's like, we're going to lock the dog out. And I was like, that's going to come back to haunt us. And now I hear her clawing at the door. She says, hey, I'm Janie. I'm alone. I'm scared.
She has a crusty ear right now.
Why would you say that? They're going to think she's gross. She doesn't have a crusty ear.
Pick her up and look at her.
What are you talking about? She has a crusty ear.
Her left ear.
What are you saying? Where is she?
The fur.
It's not crusty. Don't say that. People are going to think I have an unkempt dog. She's going to the groomer.
She's going to groomer.
Look, this dog lives the best life and she gets to go around the pool and everybody pets her and you're going to get a dreadlock or two or crusty ear from just being a wild woman.
Wild.
She's a wild woman. She gets to do whatever she wants. I say give her a break. She's a rescue. She came from China in a crate with her mouth tied shut and I looked at her yesterday. She was at the cookbook shoot and she was like looking at a whole table of New Year's Eve food. She's like, just for me. That's the American dream. Like you were abused in another country and you came here in a freight container. And now you have like a whole dinner just for you. And you're in a celebrity cookbook. Like that's the, like
that's what dogs want.
A chicken in every pot.
Did you get to eat any of that?
Absolutely not. Dinner? You can't have garlic.
Oh.
Although she did jump up on the table and help herself. I think having a dog on the table is very French. Like think of
Why? Like
a still life of like a king's court and there's like a King Charles Cavalier on the table. That's very British. But like it's a very French thing. And we're very French in this house, in this chateau.
Do you ever see those collections of paintings of like what people thought like cats and horses looked like? And they're always real messed up. And you're like, did you not ever see a cat before you painted
what
this?
What people?
Just like paint, like you go to a museum and you look, you clue in on the animals. There's always something wrong with them.
There's always something. I mean, first of all, like in, God, I lack the proper vocab for this. Like there was a time when women were just men with like circular breasts, like just all of Michelangelo's paintings. Like the women are just like huge dudes. And then there's a lot of, because like for a while people could only paint about the church. Like there's like a period where like everybody looks like an alien. Like I guess they hadn't invented mirrors. Like Jesus looks like a long, lanky alien. Oh, that's weird. No, you know what that is? You're showing me a cat with a human face. Sometimes artists would put like an enemy, that's a melted cat. Just, like an enemy's face in an animal or something. Or the artist's face.
They're just all sick looking. Like really Google ugly cats in paintings. There it's a go. Good time.
Like pull over your car. That is funny. Maybe it was medieval times and all the cats had like, I almost called it Circe. Like just some sort of weird.
Yeah, I feel like disease. they didn't know. They're like, I've heard of a cat. It's smaller than a dog.
Some guy's like, if I don't paint the king, he's going to cut off my head. I got to get through this animal that lives by the pea.
That's how the cats live.
All right. You guys got questions. We got answers. We're going to bring some levity to this because sometimes I think the advice is serious. Sometimes I listen to the podcast and I'm just like, man, this got really serious.
Because people need all kinds of help. So we try to mix it up.
Here's the tacit agreement between me and my audience. If you write in a question asking for help, you cannot try to rectify it on your own until we get to the question. Could be weeks, could be months. I need you to put your life on pause. Otherwise, it falls on deaf ears. But I suppose someone else out there also has an on-the-spectrum aunt who has said something
That's
weird.
That's what I think there's always, I think you can always extrapolate.
There's always life lessons to be taken from every sip of coffee. Here's my recipe for drinking water. Nap, 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 nap.
Hi to the gang, Liza, Emily, Hot Scotty, we miss you, and precious Snow Peach. I've been hooking up with a guy since February. I am 32, almost 33, and he just turned 36.
Why are you saying it?
I don't know. I started it, and I thought they should all match.
It almost sounds Irish.
30.
They say 30. 32 and 33.
He was previously engaged, but that relationship ended over a year and a half ago, although I think they are still in contact. I wanted to ask your advice because he does stand up and I think you would have good advice. I've never asked him to define the relationship, but he knows I want a boyfriend. We met on a dating app, but have never actually gone on a date.
What?
I usually go to his place and it's really just physical, even though I enjoy his company a lot. I haven't opened myself up because I'm scared that I'm going to get rejected.
Oh, you have. You opened up your vagina.
I don't want to just hook up. I want to be with someone who doesn't want to keep me as a secret. Please help. I don't want to be alone forever. Love you. Thanks for all the big words you have taught me.
Indubitably. So, sesquipedalian. So, it's since February, March, April, May, June, July, August. You've been just fucking this dude for 6 months under the cloak of night. You think he's keeping you a secret?
It just seems like she hasn't brought it up.
Okay, I'm just going to say this and like, I don't care. Don't date a male comic.
Yeah.
It's like one in a bunch is like stable and normal and like capable of emotions beyond that of a damaged fourth grader. This guy, oh man, I'm dying to know who it is. It's probably in another city.
Probably, yeah. It's probably not like an LA comic.
That's not a great, like, look. Odds, most comics aren't funny. Odds are this guy isn't great. You're signing yourself up to be the girlfriend of a comic. And if he does it full time, like that's cool. I doubt he does. It's just emotionally like, it's just a problem group.
Yeah.
Most artists are broken people. There's like me and like three others that are like, we're pretty normal, which is probably why I have a tough time with this industry because I'm not super damaged. So 6 months is a long time. I would just, weird to, what? What? You got something to say about dating comics?
Just the fact that she's like, she wasn't open. She never brought up dating. He knows she was a boyfriend. She's never asked, like, just be like, look, do you want to go out on a real date? And if he says no, like, you can move on and look for someone else.
I would just move on anyway. I'm sorry. I feel like, look, we all have to stand up for ourselves and say what we want. But like, if you've made your intentions known that like you'd like a boyfriend. Now I'm wondering, did you say this on the dating app and you haven't said it since?
Yeah.
He's not a mind reader,
to
be fair.
She's standing in the room like, I'd love a boyfriend.
Here's what you did wrong. You taught this man how to treat you. And he's like, great. I get to have like sex with this chick who like I'm kind of ashamed of. I get to have sex with this chick whenever I want, when I'm done with my gigs and I don't have to do any of the maintenance, score. The fact that it hasn't occurred to him to do more to me is a red flag. When a guy likes you, they like you. Like he should be devastated to know if you're going out with someone else. Like he should want to see you. And this whole thing like, oh, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? Because it's nice to buy cows and have them in your house. Okay. So adopt a cow. Now, I would just, this guy's not the guy for you. And you don't want to feel like you like wrangled him into it. I doubt it's like he's too shy. The fact that all you haven't gone on a date
in 6 months, no dates. And that she's like, I think he still talks to his ex-fiance. I don't know. Like, what do you know?
He's not into
you. What do you know about him?
He's not into you. And you're just casually there. And he's like, sure, I'll hook up with her. He's given you no indication that he's into you. I can't imagine he's that shy. 6 months, half a year, and you've never been on a date. Unless you just give off this vibe that like, you're like, all I want is what's in your pants. But if he liked you, he would have said something. I'm sorry. This is tough. Because even if you say to him, like, I'd like more, I don't think this is the guy that you want more with. Unless he's just so hot.
Yeah.
I think you should just wash your hands of the whole situation.
Yeah. Go back on the app.
I don't think you're going to get a good outcome from this guy. Also, it's a dating app and he was clearly using it to hook up. But the fact that you made the cool girl mistake, a lot of girls do this. Like, I'm a cool girl. I'll just hook up. And there's nothing wrong with hooking up. But like, nobody has tried to progress this. To me, it's already a dead end. Hmm. Do you think he's funny? Have you seen his stand-up? Well, how could you? Because you don't go on dates.
Right. Yeah, wait. Yeah.
He's probably hooking up with other girls too. Something's weird.
Or
it's been a pandemic and no one could go on a date.
Right. But you're still just at the apartment.
Ugh. Get out of there.
Dear Eliza, Snowbeach, Emily, and the whole gang.
You taught him how to treat you. Okay, sorry.
Dear Eliza, Snowbeach, Emily, and the whole gang, about a year ago, I broke up with a guy who I'd been dating for 6 months. We had a lot of interests and life dreams
in
common.
Dating or sleeping together quietly in his shared apartment. Okay.
We had a lot of interests and life dreams in common, so I thought it was going to be a thing. He's an architect, has a block of land, and we enjoyed geeking out on tiny home and permaculture videos on YouTube while he drafted out and gathered materials for this tiny home dream. To give the situation context, I'm a 33-year-old American living in Australia and was recovering from a broken heart, unsure of whether to return to America or stay in Australia. I was also waiting to see if I would even be allowed to stay in the country, as it was uncertain if my visa to stay in Australia would be granted due to a complicated breakup.
Okay.
In hindsight, I probably wasn't in the right headspace to be dating someone, but I eventually figured it out. And that plus a few other reasons led eventually to the breakup. So during the complicated heartbreak with the ex, I befriended and traveled around Australia with this German guy. We're now
not the tiny house. No. Not the tiny house guy? You moved to Australia because of a broken heart, met the tiny house guy, broke up, broken heart, now you're with German guy. Is that right?
We are now super close, and when he eventually left the country, he gave me his tools, some surfboards, and camping supplies. Jump back to tiny
totally
home
normal
man.
To give. Okay.
In a confused mix of eagerness that we'd build a tiny home together and a gloomy despair that I might not even be allowed to stay in the country, I gifted tiny home man the tools. But now, a year later, I'm a permanent resident and committed to living in the country, especially since they don't like to let us out, what with COVID and our national border lockdown and everything. I don't own many things, but would love to have those tools. Tiny home man blocked/deleted my number when we broke up so he wouldn't text me. So it seems like a lot of work to ask for them back, and maybe I should just consider them a gift. Yes, he already owned a good amount of tools, maybe not these ones specifically, but also they aren't anything crazy when it comes to some pretty basic tools. Anyways, a bit sentimental, a bit useful, and expensive. I don't want to make for something new. Quizzical comments, thoughts, sage guidance, love the show. S down under. Buy new tools.
Yeah, you got to move on. You're going to look like a crazy person reaching out. It's not kind to him. They're just tools. It's not like a hand-engraved ice pick that your explorer grandmother gave to you when she like conquered the Arctic. Fuck, I almost had that run perfect. So move on.
Yeah.
Was it a power sander that was $8,000?
Some tools are expensive, but I think you're better off just replacing the tools rather than trying to figure out how to reach out to this man that has blocked you. Like, how do you gotta go to his
later,
house and be like, where are those tools? Like, it sounds like you already gifted them to him. You can't take them back.
You can't take it back. It's interesting. I was thinking about gifting. Just move on, please. That story is so complicated. Please move on.
Yeah.
And don't reach out to him. Because by the way, like, he's probably with someone now, and she's going to be like, why is she reaching out now about tools? She gifted them to you. You're going to look like a crazy person. Remember the episode where the guy's mom gifted the ugly Coach purses to the girl, and she gave them away? My mother recently, I was only over text, got mad because she had gifted me about, 4 years ago, some plates. And they were really pretty, these like turquoise and gray plates. But in our new home, not only do they not aesthetically go, we also have so many plates and my husband doesn't love them. And as a chef, he's like particular about stuff. He doesn't love the shape of the plates. So I asked Jody if she wanted them and she loved them. So I gave them to her. And my mom like kept asking me about the plates when she was visiting. And at the time, because we've like moved and our stuff is everywhere, I was like, I don't know where they are. And then I finally was like, oh, I think I gave them away. So I asked Jody and she was like, yeah, you gave them to me. I love them. And my mom was like, so you lied to me. I'm like, no, when you decided to interrogate me, I didn't know where they were. And then I found out and I gave them to Jody. And she's like, you should have asked me to give them away. And I'm like, you have hundreds of plates at your house. They like collect plates. And you gave them to me. I'm a firm believer. Like, it's not like you gave me your grandmother's heirloom diamond ring and I like gave it to Goodwill. Somebody gives you something, especially if you hold on to it for a while, like it's yours. It's not a Rolex. Like you're just keeping it for the next generation. Anyway, I told her, I was like, you're out of bounds, Ronnie. You owe me an apology. We're fine. But you gifted them. It's not like you gave them and then a week later, you're like, I made a mistake or could I use them again? It's a year later. It's done. It's done. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
It's no secret that fast fashion and the demand for fashion in general is helping to wreck our planet. Well, introducing Nuuly. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, and they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I gifted Nuuly to a friend whose daughter works in an office where you have to be presentable, and it's trendy. She gets to try out stuff. She always looks fresh at work. She always looks cute, and when she's done with it, which we usually are after wearing something for a while, she can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ELIZA20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's and enter the code ELIZA20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code ELIZA20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
I'm busy. And this time of year gets even busier. I've had my baby. I'm back to work. I'm at meetings. I'm on tour. I'm running around. And I don't always have time to sit down for a meal with my family. Sometimes I get home from set so late and I just need to eat something nutritious and go to bed. And that's why I like Factor's fresh, never frozen meals. Because they're dietitian approved and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy I am, and I'm busy, I always have time to get a nutritious, great tasting meal. Factor has over 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. So I never get bored. I'm trying to do less meat in general, and they have wonderful vegan and veggie options. I just made a vegan mushroom marsala, and I made an onion risotto. Just because you're eating vegetarian doesn't mean you can't eat deliciously. It had roasted garlic green beans. It was scrumptious. Head to factormeals.com/ELIZA50 and use code ELIZA50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code ELIZA50 at factormeals.com/ELIZA50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Well, it's finally happening. The weather is finally getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to the jackets and cozy sweaters we've been hibernating in all winter. And it's time to say hello,
bonjour,
to shorts and t-shirts. And if you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. I talk about Quince a lot because I really believe in a sustainable capsule wardrobe. And there's no reason you can't have a sustainable, timeless wardrobe for every season. And Quince has got you covered with premium linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable, silk tops, hello. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Dressing well shouldn't break the bank. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Look well. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
Hi, Eliza and Emily. First off, you guys are hilarious and always make a positive impact in my life. This might seem long, but if you love dogs, keep reading.
I do, and I will.
Digging in, my wife and I wanted to do a small trip to Los Angeles, San Francisco to LA, about a 5.5-hour drive. We were planning to go to Six Flags Magic Mountain and the California Science Museum.
Okay.
Spent $500 on tickets and cheap hotels. We wanted to do this trip before we moved to New Mexico,
Is that in Irvine, California Science Museum? Is that that big cube on the 5?
It might be. I haven't been. It sounds fun.
Or is that a children's museum? I passed something on the way to Irvine.
Maybe a children's museum.
Still fun. You could be stupid. Still fun.
We want to do this trip before we move to New Mexico, which is about in 1 month. Before we left, we needed a dog sitter, and our friend Connor said he could. On Thursday, July 29th, I was trying to figure out 7 July.
Also, 7, could have done without any of that context. Could have just been like, we're taking a trip, needed a dog sitter.
July 29th, with only 1 hour left to drive to the hotel, we get a call at 10 p.m. from Connor that our dog, Sunny, got out. He came home from work and he said that when he opened the door, Sunny just ran out. He chased her, which was not a great idea. My wife and I waited about 20 minutes off the 5 South Freeway. Then we flipped a bitch buck up north.
Okay. I understand.
The city Connor was babysitting in was Foster City, which is 1.5 to 2 hours away from our home. We arrive in Foster City that same night at 1 a.m. Searched by car, foot, called Sunny for 2 hours. We finally needed sleep, so we crashed at Connor's apartment. My wife and I were so devastated. It was hard to sleep that night. We tried to keep it cool and created plans instead of sitting around moping. Next day, we went ahead and searched all day, posted ads on social media, called the SPCA Humane Society, made police reports. My friend Connor did create a posting on the Nextdoor app, which was helpful for neighbors to see what was going on currently in their community. Again, we are not from Foster City.
Which is helpful if you get your Amazon package stolen.
Yeah. My wife and I decided to get a hotel in the area in case someone called us that they spotted Sunny. Then we could drive over real quick.
Yeah.
We decided to go home instead. It would have taken us about 2 hours to get to Foster City.
All this stuff is there.
And by that time, there'd be no point because Sunny is fast, unfortunately. With postings, flyers, dog Amber alerts, food, gas, hotel, we spend roughly $1,000 just searching for Sunny. Because we couldn't get any money back from the trip to LA, we were a total of $1,500 out. Eesh. So here's our question. What do we say to Connor about our friendship? Because my wife and I feel that it was his responsibility to watch our dog, and he didn't do much to help us find her. I did send him a voice memo that was very polite, still thanking him for posting on Nextdoor, but I told him that we weren't happy with how little effort he put into helping to find Sunny. The other issue is he hasn't even responded to that, just like he's barely responded during the whole time that Sunny went missing in his city.
Where was he the whole time you were doing all that?
I guess just at his house. So next month, when we're supposed to move to New Mexico, Connor was going to take our couch for free, but now we want to sell it to make back some of the money we lost this weekend.
That's okay.
So what are your opinions? Me and my wife feel very bitter towards Connor. We don't hate him. It's just that we would have gone above and beyond if we'd lost someone else's dog. Also, found Sunny on the evening of July 31st. It was a hard 48-hour search. Caught her, but she heard my voice and she came right to me.
Oh, I Jackson would beat that dog.
And Brittany. Look at this little guy. He Sunny, got found.
How could you?
Thank God.
All right, look.
We're not trying to PS. We're not trying to be petty about the couch situation. It's just that now we lost a grand of money that we were supposed to use towards our $3,000 move.
Okay, here's the fact. Ready?
Mm-hmm. There's a fun... Orange is where Sunny started. This is where Sunny went around the town.
Wow.
There's a map of his little...
That's a children's book. Sunny went around the town.
Orange were sightings. Oh my God. Okay. I love this. Poor Sunny.
Connor did let you crash at his apartment.
One night.
I'm just saying, it's not like he was like, peace, I got a hot date. It's frustrating because like rule 101 of like dog watching is like the dog might run out of the door. And so, but it was an accident. And accidents happen, and this is the risk you take. So he didn't do it deliberately. It's not like he like let the dog eat a plate of chocolate cookies or something. It's a freak thing. He could have had something in his hand, and the dog wiggled its way out. He should have been more active. Creating a next door app is like, fine, you were on the toilet, and you just like clicked a bunch of buttons. Yeah. He should, you know, and I don't know, did he have a job he had to get to? I don't know what he had to do, but let's say, I'm wondering what he was doing while you were doing all that.
Yeah. Just like sitting on the couch. Like he should have, number one, made you feel very welcome to stay at his home while you were searching so you didn't have to go get a hotel.
It's tough because what's fueling you is your love of your dog. And he's like, it's tough. That's a really exhausting job searching for a dog. I think he probably feels really bad about what happened. You're moving to another state. It doesn't, like, you can let this friendship kind of go, okay? It's on him to respond. The ball's in his court. You are well within your rights to just be like, hey, man, we need to make back some of this money. We're going to sell the couch, okay? He's a grown man. He can get his own couch.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. It's not like something that was in your family and he's like, you always said I could have it. He was doing you a favor by taking the couch for free.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, circumstances have changed. You're out $1,500. Yes. You need to recoup some of that money. You don't even have to do it like, well, this is your punishment, Connor. It's like, no, circumstances changed.
Yeah, I've promised about 6 people like my night table in my bedroom, and I intend to give it to no one. I'm just going to get rid of it that day and we'll figure it out. It's not like he's had his eye on it forever. It's totally fine. You're fine. Definitely. And the ball's in his court and you're moving away anyway and you never have to think of money again. Thank God you got your dog back.
Yeah.
I would just move on from everything, recoup some of that money. You're not going to get a lot for that couch, but it's something. You move on.
Yeah. And Connor's never going to watch Sonny again.
You're never going to see Connor again.
Yeah. You're moving to New Mexico. Bye, Connor. Mm-hmm. You suck.
Mm-hmm. Connor probably, this happens with men a lot. They felt bad. Then they feel embarrassed. Then they go quiet. Mm-hmm. So the couch thing is just like, hey man, it's just, you know, you can just be like, he didn't help, and that's what feels shitty. But you are allowed to be like, I need to sell that couch. We need to make back some money. And that's fine. He's not like, I was counting on that couch.
Yeah.
He can go get probably a cheaper couch at like Goodwill. So he's fine.
Yeah. Good day, Eliza and Emily. 26-year-old female Aussie fan here, writing from Melbourne. Can't wait to hopefully see you live somewhere in the world. Love the pod, love your comedy, love Good on Paper, You're a Queen, etc.
Thank you so much.
Alrighty, here's the context. I'd never had a serious long-term relationship until I met my boyfriend, 28 years old, and we've been together for approximately 4 years now. I love him to bits. He's got his good traits and his bad traits, like everyone. But I'm starting to wonder, is this it? Is this just the relationship mellowing out and from here we just coast along? Or is there more out there? More context. The first 2 years of our Rello, it was incredibly
funny.
Rello, I guess, relationship, R-E-L-O.
Oh, they love to abbreviate stuff down there.
I know. It was incredibly honeymoonish, super loved up. He's so sweet and caring. We had so much fun all the time. It felt so right and so, so good. Mm. But a year ago, we moved in together in a share house with a couple other mates. Mm. And now as we approach our 4th anniversary, he started doing this, quote, joke, where he makes snide remarks to me, and it's always followed by an I'm joking, but never an apology. I've brought it up that I don't like it, and it's not the worst, but not the best either. I've also noticed we don't have big, deep chats as often. Almost all of our banter is just silly and superficial. He still has sweet man moments, though, and does little things to show he cares. Last bit of context. I started studying at a university this year, not nursing. My boyfriend is the nurse, actually, but doing an environmental sustainability degree. So I'm not sure if this is also possibly making us grow a little bit apart. How do you know whether you should stick with the relationship and this is just the natural dust settling? Or recognize perhaps you're drifting apart and just let that occur. Thanks in advance.
I think it's both.
Why is he, what are these rude things he's constantly saying?
You know, is a share house just like you have roommates?
Yeah, with mates. So I assume like, yeah.
You know, it's not the sexiest environment. And you're, how old did she say she was?
26.
Yeah, you know, I think it's different in another country. I think people just live differently. So I can't really apply like American sensibility to this because whatever. We all live differently in different places. In London, it's like totally normal for a grown man to have a flatmate. And have like a normal job. I don't think it's the sexiest environment to be living around people. I also think you've been around each other for a while and there is dust settling in a relationship. It's never going to always be like red hot forever. And there is a version where like you've had a lot of deep talks already, but you know, maybe bring up to him like we haven't been able to connect and see what he says to that. You know, then there also is the version that like you guys just kind of grew apart. You're also, you know, you're getting your degree, you're working on your future. So I think it's both. This could still be the guy and it's just, you know, but you should, 4 years in and you're not married and you're in your 20s, like it should still be fun. There should still be some attraction. You should still be like respecting each other. And if that's going away, you know, maybe he's got some things he wants to say or maybe he's feeling, I would check in with him. And if he's not hearing you, then maybe this isn't the guy for you. Or you check in and he's like, yeah, you're right. I just feel like we haven't connected. So maybe take like a little trip or something, but it should be easy at the beginning. And this is still the beginning.
And make him stop saying rude stuff.
Yeah. If he can't see that, then he's not like, I'm not saying like, oh, I have the perfect marriage, but it's pretty great. And if I ever said to Noah, like, oh, you hurt my feelings, he'd be like, I'm so sorry. Like, that wasn't my intention. He would never do it again.
He wouldn't just keep doing it and be like, yes. I'm joking.
It's very Australian. Like, oh, get over it, Sheila. So I appreciate all the things that you're saying and be open to the fact that this might not be the guy, but also give him the room to be like, yeah, I'm sorry. And I would love to connect with you and be deep inside you.
Oh.
All the way to your kookaburra. Ah, why'd I say it?
Get in that Rottnest Island.
Oh.
That's where they live. That's where the quokkas live.
And you can't live there. And they live there. And you have to take
a boat. Own the whole island?
Yeah.
Can you go there?
You can go and take a picture with one. They look like they're smiling, but they're not.
They're unhappy.
I think they're just animals that can't smile. But Peter just didn't. What was that?
What was that?
I don't know. But I have a kookaburra here. Oh, I think kookaburra, maybe it's a New Zealand bird.
New Zealand bird is a kiwi.
I'm true.
Doesn't a kiwi look like it should have little arms?
You know, I'd love to read this kookaburra tab, but someone bit through it. Chini.
She got her little mouth all over it.
She ripped a leg off.
Oh my God.
Every time I go to Australia, Australians give me like a lot of stuffed animals of their special animals. So I have like this windowsill with all these like kangaroos and koalas and this kookaburra. And Tianfu like looks at it as like her goal. And apparently she got into my collection of nice stuffed animals. So if you're the fan that gave me a kookaburra, Tianfu ripped the leg off, put her mouth all over its belly, and bit through the tag.
I know, it is crusty now.
Because I won't be reselling. Stop saying crusty pertaining to my dog, okay?
That is. She put her mouth all over its belly.
Tazzy, a koala, a quokka, a kangaroo, a couple other marsupials.
I love pictures of really jacked kangaroos.
It's not
unsexy. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It happened to me. I didn't think it would, but it happened to me. I had a nasty bout of postpartum depression. Now, there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about what you're dealing with, and there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about it with someone. I definitely saw a therapist these last couple weeks because, you know, I spend my time giving advice to others, but I could use a little advice myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I'll tell you what, when you're already stressed or anxious, the last thing you want to do is battle traffic and sit in a waiting room and get your parking validated. I'm sorry, is that just an LA thing? You don't need to add all that. You can just sit in the comfort of your own home or a chair you like outside, and you can talk to someone from BetterHelp. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge, and it doesn't hurt their feelings. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Eliza.
When you ask someone what language they took in school, usually it's like with an eye roll. They're like, French. It's like, do you speak French? No, I don't use it. I feel like a lot of us had difficulties learning a language in school. Rosetta Stone is here to change that. It's available on desktop and it can be used as an app on your phone or your tablet. Rosetta Stone are trusted experts for more than 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with an intuitive process, and you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. That's right, you might even fool some locals into thinking you're one of them. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. I headed to Mexico City for a little vacation, and I used Rosetta Stone to brush up on my Spanish. Just a few things, few verbs that I knew I had forgotten, and I was better. Mejor. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Ask Eliza Anything listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/Eliza. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/Eliza today.
Hi, Eliza and Emily. I would love your perspective on whether I should speak up about an ongoing problem in my household.
Speak up. Next question.
I, 29, female, have been a stepmom for almost 2 years. My partner, 30 male, has a 3-year-old child that we have with us every other weekend. It took the child a while to warm up to me, but lately things have been going great between us. I don't have any children of my own and was never really around kids much before this. So this part-time parenting thing still feels brand new to me. I'm always questioning whether I'm doing it right. The problem between my partner and I is that he lets his kid watch movies pretty much the entire weekend that they are here. The kid will watch at least 2 movies a day while my partner sits on the couch and scrolls through his phone. Oof. I try to suggest fun things to do. We live in a large city with plenty to do, including hiking, amusement parks.
It's fine. I know what a large city is.
And the children live in a rural part of the state with not much going on, so I want them to take advantage of all there is to do here. I also try to come up with activities, crafts, games, etc. I spend at least a few hours a week looking online for things to do with them. Mm. Yet dad so easily says yes every time his kid asks to watch something, even after I've suggested an activity multiple times. I'm constantly reminding myself that it's not my kid and I can't tell my partner how to raise them, but it's driving me crazy. Mm. Tried to talk to him about it, but his response is that plenty of kids spend their weekends watching TV and it's perfectly normal.
Ugh.
Should I just let it go because it's not my kid to ignore the guilt I feel letting them have this much screen time? Or should I stop making the activity suggestions and make them requirements instead?
Can you break up with this man?
Can't wait to see you in November. Can you take the child, go live with the child's mom, and leave this man?
Here's a question. Are you cool with the mom?
They haven't noted either way, so I assume there's no bad blood.
It's tough because being a step-parent is, like, so its own thing. And it sucks that it's, like, are you married to this guy?
It is. Are they married? Hold on, the message.
Okay, well, whatever. It sucks to be brought in this early in a child's life.
Well, they say I've been a stepmom and they call the person the partner. So it's like if you've been a stepmom for almost 2 years, like you're not a part of this.
That's what I'm saying. It sucks to be brought in this early and you already, it's like your input doesn't matter. You're like, really? Because you are with me or you married me and this child is in our home together. And I think part of you maternally, you're like, I want to take care of this child in this way. Like you feel it is gross and he's not being a good dad. I'm sorry. If you are exhausted from working all day and you want to let the kid watch a movie, but that's not quality time. The kid's three.
And he's only seen the kid every other weekend. And for those 2 days, the kid watches four movies while he sits on the couch. And he doesn't have to do anything. This woman is coming to him with ideas.
You're making it your problem. I think this is indicative of like a greater issue. I'm so turned off by this man. I think it's so great that you care. I wonder if there's a version where you talk to the mom and you're like, hey, like I would love to, you know, like getting on the side of the mom. I don't know. Like if she's cool and be like, I love taking to the museum. Like, is there a, like she's with us and I, is that cool with you? Like gauge how the mom sees it.
Yeah. So instead, so it's not like going behind your partner's back.
Nope.
Like
he that just is watches what I'm movies, suggesting.
But like going and being like, hey, look, I know I'm not the mom, but would you be comfortable if I took the kid out by myself?
Yes.
Like if I just took him like when,
but
when
here's
he's
the thing. That's
busy.
Not what I'm saying because it's not on you to do that. And then you got to drive the kid. You got to get the car
but if
seat.
She wants it. She's saying she's the stepmom. She's known this kid for two
I'm
years.
I'm saying gang up on the guy with the mom so that the mom is like, hey, Nancy's asking to take this kid to the science museum. What the fuck are you doing? Like a little bit of pressure. I just wonder if that's an approach, but this is a character flaw and it's kind of gross. I don't know. This person doesn't sound ideal. Sorry, you can come in. Hold on. Noah came in with a bite. They're doing their cookbook. What is that? On a spoon? What is that?
This is the...
Oh God! He just came in with a spoonful of soup, a single spoonful. Is that what is that?
It's the heirloom fizzle. The heirloom.
I don't. I'm okay. He just walked in with a spoonful of cold sauce.
It's not cold sauce.
What is that?
All right.
It's delicious, but I'm just eating pasta sauce now.
It's not pasta sauce.
What is it, baby? It's part of a warm heirloom fizzle,
What's
you guys.
A fizzle.
It's more of a broth.
Oh, it's a broth, but it is.
Okay. So summer tomato broth.
It is delicious,
yeah.
But it's more like a gazpacho.
Yeah, it's like a summer tomato broth.
Okay.
Gazpacho.
Thank you.
Wow.
I love you. Actually, do you want to answer this?
Is the question, how do you show your husband that you like the food he brought you?
I do. Like, what do you, this is what I deal with. It's one thing to be like, do you want a warm heirloom fazool? But to be like, I'm coming to your podcast. Here's one spoonful of, get ready for it, cold sauce.
It's room temperature.
Room temperature.
You don't want to heat up heirloom tomatoes or else they get
Will you weigh in on
sweet.
This question real quick?
Is it fast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, this girl's been with this guy, unclear if they're married or just together, for 2 years. He's divorced with a three-year-old child. And they get the child once every 2 weeks. And when the child comes, the dad just lets the kid watch like four movies in the weekend and just scrolls through his phone the whole time. And the woman's like, I feel bad. We have so much stuff in our city. We should go to a museum or a park or something. And the dad's just like, it's fine if the kid watches a movie. And she feels bad. And she's like, I know I'm only the stepmom, but like, I want this kid to have other activities.
They're married.
I think they're just, I don't know if they're together. They're partners.
And she calls herself a stepmom.
So let's say they're married.
If you're really the stepmom, you can start making stuff happen. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, if you're just like hanging out for a while, then stay out of it. But if you're if you're going to be a part of the family, then that's part of the role.
Yeah.
But, you know, tell the dad, don't like
abduct the child. Okay. Yeah. My advice was do it behind the back.
Yeah. I think, and you know, frankly, if that's the kind of person you're with, who's like a shitty dad, then maybe you shouldn't be with him anymore.
Thank you. That's what I said.
Perfect. Minus the part about going behind the back, which I still think you should do.
And don't forget, when someone brings you a nice warm heirloom fazool, appreciate it and go, oh, that's so delicious. It tastes like the peak of summer on a spoon.
And don't forget that I did say it was delicious and it wasn't warm.
Well,
I think you and I have difference in what warm is.
Temperature.
Okay, room temperature is not warm.
Well, the dish is cold. Like, it'll be warmed up. But anyway, but you know, tell your face.
I told you face. It was taste though. I said it.
People, rewind it. Let us know who was right in the comment section.
Okay. Do you see the abuse that I face?
Yeah. You got brought a spoonful of
get
soup.
Out of here. Thank you.
Who is that?
Don't make her bark on the podcast. Wow, that was mean.
Chenee.
Yeah, I don't like this guy for you. Yeah, but if you are going to be the stepmom, you definitely should start weighing in. You're not like trying to indoctrinate the kid. You're trying to enrich him. Quite frankly, the dad should be fucking pumped that you put any thought into it. But it's only, now I'm like, it's only, you said 4 movies in a weekend?
Well, he's saying she's only there every other weekend and watches 2 movies a day. And he's like, oh, the kid likes watching movies.
Right. So, I mean, there's still other time. I wonder.
It sounds like they're not doing that. The kid is just like, can I watch a movie? And the dad's like, sure.
Yeah. No, I don't like this guy. Anyways, that's our advice. Kick it.
Gave so much advice. Brought in the husband.
My best friend and I became roommates in June. I moved into our house and we agreed on a reasonable rent for me.
Oh boy.
So far, everything is going great, except for one thing. I moved into what I think is the best room in the house. It's downstairs and has a door with direct access to the patio and backyard. Before I moved in, the patio was her own personal smoking place. She confesses that she's a closet smoker and the spot on the patio that is now right in front of my bedroom door is the only place that she can smoke in private. This is not true because it is a big backyard. There are plenty of places where she could smoke without anyone seeing. Plus, we live in what is probably the most rural town in America.
Wait. You live together? Who's going to see?
Right.
What are you talking about?
I asked her nicely twice that she not smoke right in front of my door because I detest smoking and cigarette smoke permeates everything around it.
I'm the same
way. This morning, I noticed she moved her smoking chair back right in front of my door. I don't know what else to do to get her to change this behavior. I also told her that I don't judge her for smoking because cigarette manufacturers purposefully put chemicals in that attach to the pleasure sensors in the brain to get people addicted.
All right.
Eliza, what would you do?
I would just be like, this is a health. First of all, you're inhaling secondhand smoke. And your shit's going to smell like shit. All your stuff's going to smell like smoke. This is about, I think smokers are so selfish. I don't care if you get mad at this. They're the same people who stand right outside the door of a building smoking. I'm like, can you move away? If it's cold outside, you're not any warmer 5 feet from the door.
Yeah, go out in the backyard.
Oh like, my God.
There's a backyard. Go put a chair over there.
We were at dinner the other night and because it's LA and like everyone's V chill, some fucking idiot lit up the fattest blunt I've ever seen in a woman's hand. It was like a 10-person dinner party and we were like just sitting a couple feet away. And I just looked at her. I'm like, that can't be legal at a restaurant. And she was like, is this okay? And we were like, it's not.
No.
We all smell your fucking weed. I don't want to smell your vape, your fucking weed, or your cigarettes. It's rude. It's your personal choice. And this obsession in America with like, my rights, my choice. Yeah, go kill yourself somewhere else. Don't make me inhale it and wear a fucking mask and get a vaccine.
Yeah.
Your friend is being so selfish. And there's no, why do you need to be near the door? So the second you're done, you can run inside?
Can you guys work, maybe suggest as a fun like project one weekend, making another part of the yard like a nice little spot to sit, like putting a bench, putting some plants, and she can go sit over there and smoke?
You got to sit down there and be like, we're friends. I'm trying to, let's respect each other's space. My stuff smells like cigarettes now. I'm not judging you for smoking. Nobody's seeing. You can smoke anywhere in this neighborhood. Nobody's saying, please go to the other side. Even that other side of the yard, your house is still going to smell like smoke, but okay.
Yeah.
You need to draw a line and be like, I'm going to have to move out. I can't tolerate this. I abhor cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
So how can we make this work?
Yeah.
That's it. You got to draw that line. You are inhaling that smoke and your stuff's going to smell like that and you don't want to live that way. That was not a part of the agreement.
Yeah.
She's going to feel like, however she's like the fact that she's interpreting that any other way than, yeah, I'm ashamed. I should take this somewhere
quiet. The fact that she's like, no, I'll just be by your door. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going through her head. I have like, I think every time I see someone smoking a cigarette, I'm like, I know that's going to go on the street, like in the ocean. I think it is a selfish, disgusting habit.
I was driving home at like 11:30 p.m. the other night, and I saw down a side street as a woman like threw a cigarette on the ground and like grounded it and then went into her apartment. And it was like, I couldn't cross, but I was just watching people? Like, what are you doing?
Oh, and they get so defensive. I saw a woman, I was in New York, and it's so weird because it's such an intelligent, like the people are so smart in New York. They have so much culture, so many arts. It's not like LA. And it is, everybody smokes, everybody throws it on the street. Everybody. No, but in LA, people don't typically do it. You see pieces of shit in their car, throw them out. I'm like, oh, what do I do? But for as filthy as LA is, like you don't see as many cigarette butts as you do in New York. And this woman threw it out. And I go, are you going to pick that up? And she was like, yeah, I was gonna.
No.
Like after, I was like, okay, people get so defensive. There's no way to say anything. It's so upsetting. Like ugh. You're ruining our water.
When you see it come out of a car in front of you, ugh, and you're
I can't.
Like, you're an
I have
animal.
To look the other way. It makes me so mad. It's yeah. so disgusting.
Especially in places in LA, like where there's a bunch of brush fires.
And oh my just, God.
Like, flinging a lit cigarette out.
We deserve the fiery hellscape of a planet that we're inheriting.
Truly.
Anyways, your friend's a bitch.
Kick it. Okay, so I love the pod and have a question or I guess situation I need an unbiased opinion on. This is from Mallory. I am a grad student who has had to move around a lot in the last few years and went through a breakup right before the pandemic started. During the pandemic, I had a friend reach out from one of the places I had lived, and over the course of a year, it has turned into feelings and a distant relationship. Mm. We aren't supposed to be talking to others, but don't have labels.
What? Oh, I get it. Okay.
We haven't seen each other, but as we both are feeling ready to travel again, we thought it was time to actually hang. This was all until a few months ago when he got into some legal trouble, which limited his ability to move and now is unemployed. How long is too long to give this guy a chance? We have a great connection, but I'm not sure how long I can wait. I've been going on other dates because I needed to see if I could move on, but I haven't been able to do that.
What? You don't wait for him.
No.
You haven't even hooked up with him. You haven't even been out together. He's dealing with his own shit. If he really likes you or really loves you or whatever, or really respects you, he should be like, hey, I'm just going to get my stuff together. I understand you got to do what you got to do. By the way, like that could go on forever. Limiting yourself just because you're talking to someone, you could kiss him and it could be horrible. So the answer is don't do the girl thing where you're just blindly waiting and he could like be going on dates. Legal trouble. What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't like it's you guys aren't even in the same spot yet. And he's like unemployed and legal
and already doesn't want you to talk to other people. I would just you keep doing what you're doing because you could be what you're going to kick yourself if it's like 6 months. He sounds like one of those guys that like there's always an excuse, can't get his shit together. Mm-hmm. And like, by the way, in the last several months, like he should have, I don't know where you live or he lives, but like made a plan to see you.
Yeah.
Men will move mountains. Mm. Not like I'm like Helen of Troy, but like. Definitely when I was single, like guys would like get on a flight to come. So the fact that he doesn't have the means is fine, but he should be open and honest about like and realistic about circumstances. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for him. Mm-hmm. Because in 6 months, you'll be like, what the fuck was I doing? Mm-hmm. So just keep living your life. And hopefully it's a quick legal trouble and he can come see you soon.
Yeah.
Also remember long distance relationships. Every time you see each other, it's just like a honeymoon. It's not reality.
Mm-hmm. And even in your honeymoon, like he can't get it together. Hey, Eliza, I have a marriage question. I'd appreciate the advice. By the way, I listen to all your shows, seen all your specials, et cetera. Huge fan. Anyway, I'm a 25-year-old who's been married to my kid's dad for 2 years now. Been together.
So husband.
Been together for 3.
Okay.
He's 20 years older.
Okay.
At first, the age difference was a non-issue. He looks my age and acted like it at first.
Definitely does not look 25, but okay.
That's why is he acting 25? For example, when we first started dating, we were always working, going on vacations, going on smaller adventures together. Now I'm a stay-at-home mom and he works full-time on night shift. He sleeps all the time and is very grumpy when he's around us. We go out together once every other weekend, like the park. Should he be doing more, or is it selfish of me to want more time with him? I've suggested him taking supplements for energy or eating better, and that was shut down. I'm at such a loss here feeling single in a marriage.
Oof, that's rough because guess what? He's almost 50.
Yeah.
And you're in like the prime of your life. So this is something that you didn't... Yeah, something that you didn't think about because, you know, you're a young girl and you loved him and it's hot because he's older. Okay. He is definitely not respecting you, your marriage, or your children.
And, you know, of course people get tired when they work. You know, maybe say to him, like, should I get a part-time job to help alleviate some of this stress? He needs to show up for your kids and for you as a wife. You know, he's not just there to make money. The fact that he won't eat better or take supplements, you know, it just sounds like he's probably dealing with his own mortality, which is like this thing that men are obsessed with. Yeah, that's tough because you can't leave.
The problem also is that he's working in the night and you're sleeping in the night. Like there's just the cross. There's no crossover there.
Can he switch shifts? Is there a different job? Like you need to sit down with him and be like, what's a how can we build toward a reality where we get to, you're not a zombie. And like, I see you on weekends, or is there a chunk at night? Like, you know, he works night. So do we get to have breakfast together?
How much time is he spending with the kid?
Yeah.
Like this isn't sustainable. Like you can't be working night shift when you have this new baby.
And you're not even like clearing out some time where there's crossover. That's quality time. So this sounds like he's dealing with something else and you might want to call a therapist or something, but this guy doesn't sound great. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You got to be clear about your intentions because you're going to be overworked and exhausted. And this is not hot.
No.
Night shift. What kind of a job? Can he switch? He has children. Like, can he talk to someone?
Right. If he's been there long enough, does he have the seniority to get a better
Something's
shift?
Something's going
like,
on.
Even he might need to look for another job because this Something's is just not tenable.
On. Yeah. He's got a family now and he's got to grow up.
Yeah.
The fact that he was acting like a 25-year-old at 45 is not hot. But this is the situation you're in. So be clear about your feelings.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Liza, Emily, and gang. Love the podcast. Listen Wednesday. That's good. That's when you should listen. You guys make my morning so much more enjoyable, especially since Wednesdays are usually the one day I have to go to the office.
Isn't enjoyable such a tepid word? Humor. Your humor is enjoyable. I tolerated it for as long as it.
I know you like context, so.
I changed my mind.
I am a 25-year-old female, not a nurse or grad student, so must be the outside here, but I am looking for advice. Like many people, I'm starting to feel burnt out as a result of increasing workloads during COVID. About a year ago, I received a promotion managing a team of 5 people, sometimes more depending on if we have interns or not. Although I am fortunate to have a job and receive a promotion during the pandemic, I'm finding that the workload is growing every day. And despite my best efforts to delegate and plan my time more efficiently, I am still working 50 to 60 hours a week. I can't keep doing this. My boss, the VP, is super supportive, which I'm grateful for as a young manager, but I know she's experiencing the same. Our entire department is overworked. How do you think I should overcome burnout? Should I look for a new job? Should I live out my dreams of hiking all over the world and quit my 9-to-5 and struggle for a little but do something I love? Honestly, every day my urge to sell my house and move into a camper becomes more and more appealing.
First of all, that's not always the solution. Like, you're in a camper now, where are you going to pee? What about bears?
Can't decide if my challenge is being a younger manager with more responsibilities than I'm ready for, so I'm burnt out, or the fact that we're short-staffed, or the lack of preparation and procedures in the department, or just the pandemic. Please help. Love you lots. Elizabeth, side note, my husband and I joke about getting a camper and just selling our house to move into it and drive cross-country. Maybe that's the way to go.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. First of all, that takes money. Second of all, that takes money to move across. Like, you have to have food and internet and all that kind of stuff and gas, things like that. If you were going to do that, now is the time to do it. You're young. You got your husband. You don't even like your job. I think you need to have a talk with this very supportive boss to explain, like, put your mental health first. Like, I'm feeling burnout. Is there a path toward feeling less burnout, or is it like, this is the way it's going to be?
Right.
If there's no relief in sight, this may not be the job for you. 50 to 60 hours a week that's a lot. That's a lot. And it's great that you were making money at that. I don't know if this is the kind of job that is building you toward another job that you want. But if you were ever going to take a break in life, especially at any time in the past, like 10 years, like this is the time to do it. But I don't know what your career goals are. And I don't know what your future like is like at that company. It's always easy to think the grass is greener. Like, let's just move and do and be on our own, whatever. Do you have enough money to survive a year without a job? Maybe you should do it. But also, I think it's a younger generation thing, like burnout. It's like people have hustled harder in the past. I'm not saying you aren't working hard, but like this is part of building a career. So if you're at the beginning of something great, then you might just have to suck it up. I can't really answer it for you, because I don't know your goals or your priorities, as much context as you did give me. Talk to your boss and be like, is there a better way to delegate? Is there an end in sight? Where's the relief? Can I get some help?
Right. If your boss is on your side, it sounds like. So if she honestly tells you, like, look, it looks like the higher-ups are not looking to hire more people, they're not, then you know, like, there's not an escape from this.
You don't
want to
be doing thankless grunt work where there's no upward mobility and you're not getting a break or a raise or a promotion. You got one already, but, like, this thing where it's like, I should be thankful that I got it. It doesn't matter if everybody else is dying of COVID and losing their jobs. This is your path, your reality. You're putting in the work. You should be compensated for it. Can you get stock in the company? You know, like, is there, like, sweat equity? Like, is there a way to come out of this better for having put in this much time? And if it's a dead end, maybe you do take that break.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to just have the work keep mounting and mounting and mounting, and there's no end.
Yeah. Also, your boss, like, while being supportive, a supportive boss helps you find solutions. They're not just like, keep at it, champ.
Right.
So that's my advice. Real have that. Come to Jesus with the boss. Come to Jesus with your husband. And if you were going to ever be selfish and go across the country, now is the time to do it. Kick it.
Hi, Liza. First of all, this is my all-time favorite podcast and helps me power through all my workouts. This is
really?
Would you listen? I don't. This is not the one I would listen to while I was.
I have listened to podcasts before, but I do find music helps. But great,
yeah.
Keep going. 10 more reps. Push it.
Here is my situation. I work in HR at a hospital and have been in this role for 1 year and 2 months. In the beginning, it wasn't great because the training wasn't the best. Because I wasn't trained on a specific type of documentation or much in general that even my boss didn't know we needed to do until recently. Okay. So I ended up making a huge fuck up, and now our company is going to get sued for the most ridiculous reason. Oof. And an employee acutely lying about why/how they were terminated. The employee ended up needing to go on FMLA. Federal money.
You don't know what it means. Fuck my life.
A leave of absence that protects your job for up to 12 weeks a year. You probably know what this is, but for anyone who wouldn't. Oh, yeah, thank you. I did.
Don't get any ideas, Emily. I'll sue you right back.
She came in my office in a manic state, going from crying to screaming at me 2 different times because she needed time off due to a death in her family. I explained her options for FMLA.
2 different times?
Mm-hmm.
So 2 different deaths?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that I needed documentation, which pissed her off to the point I almost had to call her security and I had to get her manager to come in and assist on helping her calm down.
What kind of documentation? Like,
I'm assuming
a death certificate?
Which yeah. It's like, I yeah. get
if
it.
If you're coming in twice, maybe. But yes, that is shitty that she couldn't just be like, I need a moment. Like,
right.
It's what's wrong with the American workforce. Like, I had something horrible happen. Well, we need you to document it and clock in.
Right. But this HR person is doing their job, you know?
Yeah,
so
but that's also the
problem. Now I'm fully trained and know I was supposed to have her sign a specific document. But at the time, even my director didn't know to have them do this. This employee is now trying to say we terminated her for no reason. And I never offered her this option for FMLA.
What's FMLA?
So it's the being able to leave for up to 12 weeks a year.
But you did ask for the document to be signed.
No. So she said, when this person came in and was like, I need this time off. She was like, all right, so I need, you know, some sort of documentation from you, like proof. And the person was like,
right.
But when that person was freaking out, they should have signed something that basically said they were presented with the option to get FMLA if they provided the documentation.
Okay, this is why I don't have a real job. Okay.
Okay. So,
oh my God. So pedantic. Oh my God.
Exactly. I feel like it's kind of like if the cops don't read you your Miranda rights, like they can get you on that and be like, well, you didn't say it. So it's like they don't have proof that she... So
Miranda Hobbs rights.
The real reason we terminated her is because she never turned in the paperwork required that you need to have turned in within a certain time frame legally. Not to mention, like I said, both times we almost had to have her physically escorted out by our security because she was in a manic fit going from crying hysterically to screaming/threatening me. So this happened twice.
Okay.
Now my boss is saying that I might lose my job because I didn't have her sign the paperwork stating that I gave this to her. And she's probably going to get away with suing us. And we have to pay her back pay her all this money she clearly doesn't deserve since I tried to get this paperwork each time she came in, but she never gave it to me. I've never been written up at this job or had any disciplines. I don't know what to do. It would be so unfair if I got fired for something I never knew to do until recently. This termination happened almost 1 year ago, and she's just now coming after us.
Oof.
If I got fired from this job, it would look absolutely horrible on my resume.
Only in
my last job I got laid off from, so it would look like I'm a job hopper. If anyone deserves to sue anyone, it should be me suing her for threatening me multiple times, even after all I tried to do was help her stay with us by getting this paperwork from her. I'm so scared I'm going to get canned over this. Don't know what to do. Okay, so this is, so there's an update. My boss ended up getting fired because she was having me do stuff our legal department should have been doing the entire process. I ended up getting a new position, a different company that pays way more Great. And is remote. But okay, here's what you need to do. For anyone that is dealing with something like this, number one, everything in writing. Go back to when you were trained. Keep, when you get a new job, when they give you a training handbook, keep it. Just like if you get a new apartment and they give you a lease, keep those papers, make copies. Make sure that
you're so into this. You love being litigious.
I'm so glad that this person wasn't in trouble, but it's so easy for a company to screw you over. Like, you have to keep records. If you were not trained properly and now illegally that is somehow on you, no, absolutely not. No.
I agree. It's like, so I agree. What grosses me out is all like this, all of the suing. Americans feel, this is only in America does this happen, so entitled to not only like fuck up your whole life over a mild infraction, but sue. The fact that it's even entering, like, I should sue because they're going to sue. What it's interesting. I know someone who works at like a major corporation, like a financial corporation. And they're like, I love doing my job. But then it got to be where like the employees are getting audited like every eighth of a quarter. And it's like, how do I do my job when someone from like, what's it called? Compliance is like breathing down my neck, because all these companies care about is being sued because we're so sue happy in this country in the first place. It's why we have expiration dates. It's why we have warnings, caution, coffee, hot, because some fucking idiot woman was like, oh, they didn't tell me. It's why I got sued, because I had a show and someone was like, I found a loophole. It's disgusting. For the most part, it's there to protect the innocent, but for the most part, it is bottom feeders who take advantage of this. So the whole thing is like, how do I get a free ride? And this woman, there's no culpability. She threatened you. And you shouldn't get money because she threatened you. This whole thing where like, you said something mean, I should be able to sue you. The whole fucking system is broken. I'm glad you got a new job, but listen to Emily, save everything, because they will sacrifice you in a heartbeat.
And real quick, just so that nobody writes into us about this, we know that the McDonald's coffee lawsuit was legitimate and that coffee was too hot. And then, in fact, that woman was slandered. But that's just the easy go-to.
It's a good go-to.
Yeah.
But also like, just in general, like caution, coffee hot. Yeah, it's fucking coffee.
Yeah. It's like when you see stuff like on a dryer, like don't put this in the tub with you. And you're like, oh, okay.
Well, I think we should remove all of those warnings, because if you're dumb enough to touch a live wire, perhaps you weren't long.
Don't swallow this mattress. Like, all right. Try. Yeah. But you have to go, but keep things.
Just know that your company is not on your side. Just like that woman that was talking about, like, my boss is supportive. No, she's not. Your boss is only worried about her.
And this person is in HR. And I will say this. Look, you're doing your job. You're great at your job. We need people in HR. If you are not in HR, know that HR is not on your side. HR is on the company's side.
Yeah, we got this issue with our pipes in our house. So I call my insurance company. I'm like, oh, what's happening? Oh, that's really awful. I'm like, you don't fucking care. You're just like, how do we get out of this? Oh, your deductible is $12 million. Kill yourself.
Kick it. Top of the cop.
It's the top of the cob. You're doing it right every day. You just take a bite. Top of the cob.
My top of the cob pertains to what I just said. My bottom of the cob, we'll start bottom of the cob, is that we are doing all this, you know, really moving into our home, renovations, and my parents were visiting and the water started coming up through the toilet. Found out the pipes, and, you know, we snaked it and turned out there was nothing there. The pipes are so old in our house that they're like rusted shut. So that requires digging up the floor in like the one room we weren't redoing. So that's really awful, because that's thousands of dollars. It's like a minimum wage worker's small salary.
This is your top of the cob?
This is my bottom of the cob. We're switching them.
Okay, you're switching.
My bottom of the cob.
Okay.
And because of it, you cannot put toilet paper in our toilets in our house.
I'm pretty sure I could sue you for my work not having a usable toilet, but I would not.
Cool.
We're talking about workplace lawsuits.
I'm trying to fix it. So there's no grace for me. Like, I'm doing my best to fix it. I'm not like, this is what you have to pee in. And there is a porta potty outside.
Thank God for you.
Whatever. You can
or you'd have to get me one.
No. You can put the toilet paper in a trash. You just can't. You can't sue me for that. No. Why?
But I'm not going to.
Why?
Because you have to legally provide a toilet.
You can use the toilet.
I don't know. I think it's probably a biohazard for me to have to like take my toilet paper that I've put up my butt then put it in an open bag that sits in the room garbage.
It's not biohazard. My poop's fine. Anyways, the point is everything's got to go. We have so many people in our house for cookbooks. It just sucks to be like, hey, if you're going to pee,
wipe yourself, put it in the trash. Mm-hmm. We'll take out the trash. And if you're going to poop, put it in a dog bag, like the toilet paper. You can poop can go in the toilet. So it's borderline untenable.
I don't understand the physics of how a big old poop log can be down there, but a piece of paper can't.
I don't fucking know. And so it's a real nightmare having my assistant be like, I could threaten you. I'm very weird this morning.
I would never have said that if we hadn't been talking about lawsuits. I'm obviously not going to sue you. Are you kidding me?
I will come down on you so hard. I will lie.
When I go to your lawyers and be like, you guys are the only lawyers I know. Do you want to help me civilize?
Hilarious. I hate you this morning. You're very weird this morning. And even talking about it as someone who's been sued.
I'm sorry.
It's a triggering subject.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't.
You're Gen Z. You should know trigger words.
I'm happy to use the outside toilet. I have the privacy. It's real hot in there though.
Yeah, it's a fucking border bar. Anyway, that blows for me because it's like, what do you do? I started thinking about this. I was like, if you don't have $35,000 sitting around and your pipes go, like, what do you do?
It's fully insane. And it's insane, like, that it happened when you had people visiting, which sucks. Like, that sucks. That you're
at least it was my parents because they're
totally, but it still is like, it sucks. And the fact that, like, everything, I feel like you have such bad home luck in terms of, like, I feel like in another house, maybe it would be cheaper to dig up, but, like, for some reason, this is all concrete. Like, why? Why is it all concrete?
Built on concrete?
Like, why? Why is that what's happening? It's just.
And then you're like, oh, should I sue the last guy for not disclosing there were shitty pipes, but the pipes were fine until they're not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
It sucks.
What's your bottom of the cup?
My bottom of the cup is my eyeball hurts. My left eyeball has been hurting. I bought some drops for it. And then here's the crazy thing. No, not really. It started like closing on its own and tearing up on Sunday. And I was like, I guess this is fine. And then
That
night, well, because I just went to the eye doctor for seeing a floater in that eye like 3 months ago. And I'm not paying them another $250 because 3 months ago it was fine. And I'm not going again.
Try suing him for not catching it.
But then that night after it started closing up on its own, Gracie scraped the eyelid by mistake. So now I don't know what's the cat scratch and what's the potential eye
First of
problem.
All, there's no scratch there because you're a liar. Second of all, the lid is there to protect.
I know.
You can tell that my eyes hurt often.
It's all.
In fact, I wake up with my eyes hurting and I usually just put a couple drops in.
I got little drops.
It should help. It sounds like you're dehydrated.
Well,
it's also very dry here.
Yeah.
I wake up every morning like, that sucks. Eyeball pain sucks. Does it feel like someone's poking your eye with a needle?
It's in general, like a little itchy in the corner, but really what happens is like, it just suddenly starts to go like to close in and water. And then it'll be fine.
Sounds like you're dehydrated. Your eye's just like, I need hydration.
Well, I bought some little drops. I feel like Rachel and Phoebe and Friends.
That your eye's closing. You're like, this is fine for me. Just like being buried alive. You're like, I should be okay. My top of the cob is, well, I also wrote bathroom.
I know. I was wondering. I asked you what your plan was. Okay.
Every room in my house is chaotic right now. And I'm having I find myself out of breath because like I have no respite. It's either you're on the road or there's 12 people in your house or your floor is being dug up. And it's like all quality problems. You're building a home, but it is difficult because you can't get centered. My bathroom is the like room that's the most complete. And we're just waiting on cabinets. Like medicine cabinets, which of course, because of COVID, will be delivered January of 2025. But once those are in, I will have my quiet corner. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to put my things away and brush my teeth. Right now, my vitamins are in one bathroom, hair dryer's in another bathroom. Like when I get up in the morning, I have to go to use the guest bathroom and walk across the house. This sounds like, oh, your mansion. But it is weird to have like everything scattered. Like I have to pass 8 people in order to go brush my teeth.
Yeah, you needed a hair tie the other day and I was like, where could it be?
I couldn't.
Which of the bathrooms? What's my best option?
My top of the cob is my bathroom's almost done. I can sleep in the tub.
You can sleep in the tub. Okay. I've slept in a tub before. My top of the cob is I've started intermittent fasting. I don't know how it's going, but I do know that I'm bad at eating breakfast and or lunch, and I'm bad at packing a lunch. And it stresses me out. But I found these bars, peanut butter bars that are like just peanut butter, and they're not the healthiest, but they're not the worst. And they're like refrigerated. And when I eat one, I'm not hungry. I don't feel like I'm dying.
What are they?
It's called like a perfect bar. It's like peanuts. It's like peanut butter. It's like one of those refrigerated ones where if it's out of the fridge for like more than an hour, it gets oily.
Mushy.
Like it separates. And it's like, it's definitely better for me than McDonald's on the way in and or whatever I cram into a lunchbox. So I feel like when Steve Jobs just wears that one shirt and I'm like, I have this bar and I'm happy about it. And then I don't have to
I would
to
like
worry.
To take a look at that bar.
I don't. Because I honestly don't want you or Noah to look at this bar.
Why? Because you don't want to see there's 20 grams of sugar, 30 carbs.
Okay. But that's what I'm, that's lunch and breakfast.
That's not healthy. It's not healthy.
Don't breathe on me.
But I'm having my healthy dinners.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am. I'm doing Freshly.
Is that
my
a
healthy little no.
I can't even say that. Blue Apron.
I'm doing. This is totally different.
Daily
this
Harvest.
I'm doing my healthy little dinners. Everything tastes bad right now. My life sucks. I still have parosmia.
What's the name of the bar?
I think it's called a Perfect
I'm
Bar.
I'm gonna look it up.
I know. That's why I didn't it say it. You can look at all. You can look at the one I got.
Don't write in like, oh, you're food shaming. I want you to eat healthy. And honestly, like, maybe some like organic peanut butter and like celery sticks.
But I'm back. Like, then I have to in the morning get my little
Emily,
Tupperware, get my little
feeding
celery.
Yourself requires energy, and energy requires feeding yourself. This is life. And you're like, I don't want to spend money on my eyes. What are you spending money on?
If Gracie was squinting an eye, I would take her to the doctor.
You're going down a slippery slope. You're going to become a mole person.
Good.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.